There were many difficult times going on in D.C. and the outer community in 1968. Here, we will talk about the riots. We are 8th graders, and we have done work around the year of 1968 and the very influential and important events that happened in the civil rights movement.
In this podcast, we are going to talk specifically about riots, but we are also going to get at two major questions we had about the importance of a podcast like this.
Those two questions are, how do people who have been historically silenced benefit from having their stories reach a larger audience? And why is it important for people with non-marginalized voices to seek these stories?
We aren't going to answer these questions quite yet because we want to talk more about the year 1968, but we'll come back to them. So make sure you keep these questions in the back of your mind while you listen. Recently, we have had the opportunity to interview many Black people about their experiences living in D.C. in 1968.
A large reoccurring theme we noticed were riots.
We should also keep in mind that there's a difference between a riot and a protest.
A protest is typically a formal objection, and a riot is an uproar or reaction that can typically get violent. We are focusing on the riots in D.C. in 1968 as a result of the assassination of MLK.
One person we talked to who lived in D.C., at the time, was a photographer for Metro, Phil Portlock.
And when I say reacted, the city, in some parts of this city, and I'm going to picture some areas that you may be familiar with. Are you familiar with the Shore area? That's around U Street, 7th to 14th and U, mm-hmm. where Ben's Chili Bowl and those places,
yes.
Okay, Lincoln Theater. That place in particular went up in smoke. People just reacted. So windows were being broken, fires were being set, cars were being turned over. In fact, the National Guard. And then 8th Street Northeast, around 8th and H, 9th and H, 7th and H, 13th and H by the Atlas, all those places. And I grew up in that area. And a lot of that was damaged. So his death occurred on Thursday, April 4th, and things didn't calm down until that Saturday. And it was a reaction. Many people said, how would people tear up their own places, you know? And of course, and then you still had some that really took an opportunity to steal and loot. And that happens whenever we have chaos. You're gonna have an element that's gonna be there, not to make things better, but they're going to see what they can get.
What a terrible thought to hear all of the places we know and love being destroyed in an instant during a tragic time.
These are some places that we have all grown up with living around D.C., and that kids grew up with back then, and the owners had the strength to pull through and rebuild and create what we have today.
There are also businesses that were not able to rebuild because of the cost of the damages.
A lot of these businesses were big parts of the community that were lost, and people had to move away. Here's one firsthand experience by Teresa Maxey.
During the time that Dr. King was assassinated, those places were burned, they were looted, and they didn't reopen. And when they didn't reopen, that forced everyone in the neighborhood not to have a place to shop or a place to, you know, fulfill your prescriptions or whatever you were trying to do. And I don't think people realize in the moment that they created that for themselves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They created a problem trying to respond to a situation.
What a tragedy, hardworking communities and stores having their businesses destroyed in an instant. Another one of these biggest losses was the loss of a very important thing in every community, school. Here's Charles Swinton to talk about his experience.
I just observed all the stuff that was going on. It affected the schools, everything. Specifically the riots, because it destroyed so much property. And in fact, one of the memories I had was that Easter, I had put my pants in the cleaners to be altered to go to Easter Sunday service, and the cleaners was burned down during the riots. So I only had half an outfit. And it was so traumatic to that degree, because when I went to get my pants, you know, you could smell the smoke, you could see the smoke for miles coming up out of the city. because 7th Street was burning, 8th Street was burning, U Street was burning, 14th Street was burning, and all you could smell throughout the whole city was smoke, and all you could see was people looting, breaking windows. People had to write messages on their businesses saying that these were black-owned businesses, so they wouldn't be looted. So it was, even if you tried to walk around your neighborhood, it wasn't safe because of all of the looting, and police were everywhere.
A lot of people who were our age were witnessing these events and experiencing the loss. It was a very emotional loss, and people were hurting and trying to stand up any way they could.
D.C. is our nation's capital, and this loss affected the entire nation. So the fact that it occurred in D.C. it was very influential and did make a difference.
The last part about the riot we should talk about is the violence.
Yes, many people were hurt and scared to leave their houses because of the police.
Here is Sharon Purcell to talk about her experience.
Many people were being shot. I was especially afraid when I looked out the window across the street at the cleaners and saw men in uniforms with long guns. No, I just wanted to make sure that they didn't get me mistaken for someone who was not doing the right thing. It was just an eerie time because, the only place that I can think of today that you visit where you might see people with long rifles is around the Capitol. And that was so unusual for you to see when I was a little girl. People were actually standing on top of buildings and with...
The violence sounds really scary because it came from the police. Although stores are being looted and everyone is in a panic and were angry and reacting and protesting the only way they could.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it kind of answers some of our big questions from the beginning. Because not everyone has a large platform to express their thoughts, people wanted to express their feelings any way they could. We often hear from important leaders, and at the same time, we forget to ask about the experience of, say, an average citizen would.
Yeah, it's important for people who have been silenced to share their experiences because not everyone had the same experience because all people are different.
Yeah, it's also important for people that come from different backgrounds, especially those who aren't marginalized, to listen because it provides so much more understanding and it can give you so much more empathy.
Since we don't live with the same challenges that these people lived with 50 years ago and still face today, we need to understand what an average citizen or average person's experiences, we can lose the idea of a single story or one person's version of history. Because everyone has different experiences and everyone should be heard and be listened to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have.
So we hope you learned something about these individual stories and the importance of hearing everyone's voice, because no two people have the same experiences.
Thank you for listening. Have a great day.